lead is a lead is a lead is a lead. Maybe you're interacting with a buyer and a broker. Maybe you're interacting with a gallery owner. What is it that you're ultimately trying to do here? You've got this relationship and you're trying to take it to an eventually a sale.
You're listening to The Artist Business Plan, the podcast for turning artistic passion into profit. Presented by The Super Fair. This episode, co-founder James Milley speaks with the CEO behind his software secret. For years, James has used a digital tool to organize the interactions he's made in his career as an artist, transforming quick connections into customers. CRMs and how they can elevate your art business. That's coming up after this message.
You know that feeling when your art finally looks complete, perfectly framed and ready to hang? Well, that's exactly what Frame It Easy helps you do. They make custom framing super simple. Any size, tons of styles, and the widest selection of matte board colors that can even match directly from your artwork. Plus, you can preview it all in their 3D frame designer to make sure you've got the perfect fit. And if you're an artist selling your work, this part's huge. Frame It Easy can handle everything. Printing, framing, packaging, and shipping straight to your customers. Total done-for-you framing fulfillment, your branding included. So you can spend less time fulfilling and more time creating. Check them out at frameiteasy.com for the coolest custom framing you can find.
Hello, business artists. You are listening to The Artist Business Plan. Today, we've got Andy Fowler from Nutshell here with us. He's going to be discussing Nutshell and the way it simplifies CRMs, which if you're not familiar with, you will be by the end of this episode. As a user of the software ourselves, we're very excited to hear what he has to say. This is not a sponsored episode, so I was not told to say this, but it's magical. Welcome to The Artist Business Plan, Andy.
It's great to chat with you, James. Thanks for inviting me here.
Of course. So first off, for those that might not be familiar, what is a CRM and what is it used for?
Yeah, so a CRM, it stands for Customer Relationship Management. I'm sure some sort of business software in the 70s came up with that acronym for starting point. But really what it is it's a relationship manager. For some people, they might just be using their email inbox and maybe their contacts app. That might be your kind of like first introduction to managing the professional relationships that you have with the people that you know, right? Your inbox and being able to search through Gmail reminds you of, who you might have interacted with like 5 years ago. And maybe you keep some notes in a contacts app. I would say all of those things kind of conform a CRM and what Nutshell is and what the industry has sort of defined it is, you know, we take all of this and package it into a single piece of software that you and your team use to understand who have you met in the past, what kind of conversations have you had in the past, have they expressed some interest in what you might have to offer the world. And so a CRM kind of brings all of that into one place. You know, a lot of people move from that inbox and contacts app, maybe to like a spreadsheet, right? You have to start to like organize your brain a little bit more. Maybe you have two people that are not able to share an inbox, and that's when you move to a spreadsheet. I would say all of those things are still CRMs. And when you sort of move from a world of just inboxes and contacts app to a spreadsheet to maybe eventually a real CRM software, it's all one kind of spectrum.
What ubiquitous terms do you think are the most confusing to people using Nutshell for the first time?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we hear from people that are either new to CRM or new to Nutshell is just like the basic term of a lead, right? And so our competitors have a whole bunch of different terms out there, right? There's like leads, there's deals, there's opportunities, projects, sales, all of these different terms to represent, you know, potential to do business with someone. And one of the things that our first sales rep would always do, I'd overhear her on a demo call, was you just had this saying, it became a running joke inside the company of like, a lead is a lead is a lead is a lead. Like, you're just trying to like get this concept out there She didn't necessarily have all the terms for it all the time, but that was like the core concept. And so, you know, in nutshell, there's not other things, but you do track leads. That's the sort of main, I sometimes use the term like it's a project with people, right? Like it is something where you're interacting with maybe one person out there, a potential buyer. Maybe you're interacting with a buyer and a broker. Maybe you're interacting with a gallery owner or multiple gallery owners. So there's multiple people involved when you have a lead, right? It's no longer just a relationship between two people. That's when it kind of becomes a lead. And this is where it goes back to having an objective in mind. What is it that you're ultimately trying to do here? That's what a lead is. You've got this relationship and you're trying to take it to an eventually a sale.
Let's say you have Gallery Z that you met at a show, and Gallery Z you've met, so you've added them to CRM, and you want to partner with that gallery. You want them to start showing your work. So you could make that a lead with that contact or with that person that you have a connection with. That, all right, I'm gonna establish a working relationship with them, right? And then you could have this lead where it's guiding you through this flow of, okay, I'm gonna reach out, and then I'm gonna follow up, and then we're gonna get on a call, we're gonna chat, and then I'm going to, go over a proposal with them. And then that lead is one, it was a success when that gallery has now, I have a signed contract with that gallery. That could be what your lead is all about. And that can be different things. You could have a lead with the collector where it's they've expressed interest in a certain piece. And so you create a lead for them to buy that specific piece. Or it could be a lead to buy anything, you know? So you can really make a lead whatever you want. And I think to Andy's point, like, don't get too hung up in the language behind it. It's basically just representing this opportunity with a person.
Exactly. Yeah, and you might have, I like your example of like different kinds of outcomes in mind. And so in a CRM, you might use a different pipeline to define those, right? Like here's a type of lead where the goal is a single sale. Here's a type of lead where the goal is, a showing of a bunch of work. And so you can organize those into different pipelines that are sort of broken apart by what your different desired outcomes are.
Yeah. And once you have a science that you want to be integrating with your business as an artist, that's where it's, a CRM is going to become especially helpful. Like let's say you've kind of found a certain flow, like a certain set of steps, a certain set of actions that you want to take with a collector, and that seems to work really well all the time. So you want to kind of create that science that goes with it. You can create a pipeline for that. Let's say you realize you start exhibiting your work at art fairs or, at whatever type of exhibition. And when you meet someone in person versus when you meet someone on Instagram, you realize it's two different flows. And so you can create different flows or pipelines is what they're called. And then you can treat those differently. So, okay, someone comes in from Instagram because they were really engaging with my work. I'm going to put them into this pipeline, my Instagram collector pipeline. And then this collector that I met at a show, I'm going to add them to this pipeline that I've created. And the first thing I'm going to do with them is I'm going to send a thank you email for them stopping by my booth at the fair. You know, things like that. You can treat them differently. And then galleries, you might have a different route. Grant writing for, certain grant opportunities, that might be different. So you can really just use it for all these different relationships.
Yeah, I think that the most important part of this is making sure that you are collecting all of the places where your audience learns about you, interacts with you, and getting that into the CRM. Getting the information into the CRM so that you are building that collection of future buyers, future people that you're going to be engaging with in any way is the most important part of it. If you have sort of people who are interested in what you are doing that are slipping through the cracks that might not find out about you again, that's a huge missed opportunity. So when I say that, I think about things like, making sure that any anytime they come to your website that they've got a way to like jot down their email address or Instagram handle or some way of filling out a form to like make sure that you've recorded your connection with them. It might be, maybe you don't have a web page yet, you just want a little landing page out there, right? Just your name and, you know, some of your artwork and your, you know, a form so people can stay in touch. I think making sure that anytime someone is, you know, cares enough about your work that you can record that and maintain that and build that audience over time is the most important thing you can do. I'm going to wade into like sort of the geekier side of this, but you were talking, James, about how, you know, artists might find their audience through Instagram. I'm intrigued whether, there are ways to connect like sort of your Instagram following to a CRM. We often recommend Zapier. Have you used Zapier for anything before, James?
Oh yeah, I have.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, so like that's a case where, you know, you might be able to set it up so that, hey, someone has liked an image, we're going to grab that profile and make sure they're in our CRM now, right? So you don't even have to do anything. We just know, okay, there's someone out there who liked something that I posted. All I might have is an Instagram handle, but they're at least in Nutshell. Maybe someday I can find out more about them. So I think anything that you can do to kind of record people who are interested in you for the future case of building that lead, actually getting to that desired outcome, is really important. So that's why I say like forms and landing pages help you get that information in, and then building an email newsletter, right? Actually having a way to interact with that audience. You don't have to say much, right? Maybe they just want to see a pretty picture in their inbox for a split second while they do, you know, then they go on to something else. Just doing something with that audience to maintain that visibility and connection, I think, is really important. And Nutshell can do that, but, you know, MailChimp and Constant Contact, there's a lot of ways out there that very affordably you can kind of maintain that connection with an audience.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. Especially on your website, like let's say you have not just like a contact page where someone can say like, hi, I love your work, right? But, you know, if you're an artist and you focus on commissions, let's say, and you want to get a conversation started when someone is interested in a commission and you have them fill out a form, you can have that form go directly to Nutshell. And that way, instead of just it's a conversation, you might forget about it, you might get sidetracked, or you might think that you can only handle a certain number of conversations at a time because that you're not using a tool like Nutshell to give yourself the power to have more conversations. You can have all of that go into Nutshell, and then it's a flow where it's not like you're starting brand new every single time. And Zapier, we only briefly touched on it, but Zapier is basically another program that allows you to integrate different programs together that might not otherwise have a way to be connected. And so what Andy's referring to is you might be able to use Zapier to take information from Instagram and then automatically feed it to Nutshell. So you're not like constantly having to add people manually, like, I saw this person liked a bunch of posts, let me go ahead and add them to Nutshell. You could totally do that. But Zapier might be able to make it even easier for you so that it's just everyone you should be in contact with. It's going to be all in one place.
Same for like, say, an Etsy store, right? If you've made sales on a platform like that, to make sure that someone who bought, you know, one little item is someone who might be in a future audience for a different reason.
So what would you recommend as the starting point or the indicator that an artist or an arts organization should start using a CRM? And maybe kind of addressing this idea of like, oh no, it's too complicated for me.
I think, you know, one key tipping point, I guess there's kind of two tipping points that I think would take you from the world of like, maybe you're just doing all of this in a spreadsheet or your inbox or your messages app. The first is if you ever have more than one person working on this. So if you take on a partner or, a colleague who is helping you to sort of bring your art to the world, or like you said, if you're in an art organization, when you have more than one person working on this, that's where suddenly just working out of your inbox and your messages app, that it goes off the rails. And you might try to make it work early on, but then suddenly you have one person saying something to someone who might not align with what you said to somebody else, and you sort of have these complicated spider webs of relationships. So certainly when you move from like one person to more than one person interacting with the world, that's a tipping point. And I think the other thing I would say is that, in the term, it's about a relationship manager. But when you get to the point where you begin to really have like a serious objective in mind, and you're not just trying to like build connections with your audience, your benefactors, the people who might one day buy from you. But when you're really thinking, I have an objective here, and that's to create art and to sell art, and I have a specific thing that I want to accomplish. I think that's another time where CRM can kind of become part of the equation, where you kind of say, okay, here's how I'm going to do this. I'm not just going to, make these connections and show up and do this sort of thing, but I actually have a set of steps that I'm going to take to try to, sell this work of art or to, land this this opening, that sort of thing.
I would say if you're an artist listening to a podcast called The Artist Business Plan right now, you're probably thinking, okay, I really love making art. What's the next step? Like how I want to take this seriously, right? And if you have any like goal of amount of art you want to be selling in a year or a month, not just, I want to get my art out there, I just want to, start selling it. If you're like, okay, no, I want to make this a part-time or full-time part of my income, and I'm looking to make, $30,000 a year, $100,000 a year, $300,000, million, whatever it is. If you are looking to organize yourself, create a flow that is going to help you reach those goals, it's a great time to introduce a CRM into the fabric of what you do with your art. So, Andy, what is your first memory of art?
This one, James sent me this question in advance, so I don't know if I thought about it too little or too much, but the first thing that popped into my head is what I'll answer here. So this is kind of weird. I was a kid that grew up on PBS rather than Nickelodeon. Thanks my parents for that. And for some reason, the answer that jumped into my head was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, there was the picture in picture, and it was this like fancy gold frame that hung on his wall, and it would usually be some sort of like Renaissance painting. But he would walk over to it and it would turn from the Renaissance painting into like a factory tour of Crayola crayons or, how pencils are made. And for some reason, that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of art as a kid. I'll just have the slightly more serious answer in that, I took piano lessons as a kid and like that was kind of my first entry into some sort of creative arts. But I was always a nerd as a kid, so I think a little bit more left brain. And so the piano was maybe the first thing that made me realize there's a little bit more to the universe than computers and that sort of thing. Just thinking about my interactions, maybe growth and learning about art. When I went to school in Lexington, Kentucky, was like the first time that I had to be exposed to like a real liberal arts education and had professors who kind of showed me that there's more to it than this, just the Mr. Rogers picture frame. And so, Lexington, Kentucky has a beautiful art hop scene where every Friday, the galleries open up. So that was when I really actually started to realize there was more to this than just, piano lessons I was forced to attend.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
James, this was great.
Everyone else, have an awesome rest of your day, and remember to stay on top of your artist business plan, get out there, and make it happen.
The Artist Business Plan podcast is presented by The Super Fair, the widest-ranging art fair in the United States. For more information on applying to The Super Fair, visit our website at thesuperfair.com. There you'll also find our full back catalog of episodes, as well as other resources to help you build your business plan. If you like what you heard, send us a message on Instagram. You can follow us at thesuperfair. Thanks for listening.